I asked the Lord to give me something for you this evening. I have a book, lists in the Bible, and one of the chapters in it is titled 40 Things That Happen in an Instant. And it's about salvation. You know, there's just so many things that happen just at the moment that you trust Christ. And there are certain words on that list that trigger emotions. Most of them positive. Words like peace bring comfort to us. Or how about this one? Forgiveness. And these are words that are in our vocabulary. We use them all the time. We throw them around, and sometimes we don't really think about how deep and meaningful they really are. Well, this is the one that the Lord seemed to lay on my heart for tonight, and that's the word hope. And with that in mind, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. The word hope is used about 18 times in the New Testament, in the Greek. And I thought we'd take just a few minutes tonight and talk about this word hope. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're just going to read the first 5 verses. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. He got all three of the Trinity right there. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Verse 3, a doxology, if you will. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again. You could even say born again. Unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That word hope appears in verse 3. According to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope. And I just want to take a few minutes and look at that word. The word hope in the Greek here is pronounced elpida. It appears about 18 times, and it simply is defined as expectation. Expectation. You know, there's a lot of things that we can hope for. There's a lot of things we don't hope for. Usually, we don't hope for something if we are capable ourselves of making it happen. You know, there's just certain things throughout the day that I don't have to hope for. Okay? They just happen. Or I have the ability to make them happen, and so there's no reason for me to hope. But you know, when we have to hope for something, when there's an expectation, it's because we understand something. We're limited. This might be something that's outside my ability, something that's outside my capability. That's certainly the case when it comes to salvation. What was Adam's hope in the garden? Fig leaves. Did that cover his sin? Did that do anything to justify what he did? No. Did it bring forgiveness? No. You see, this is something that's beyond a human's ability, is to get things right with God. And so hope becomes a very important thing at that point. Hope is in someone or something that is greater than us. Webster's defines hope as a desire of some good, accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it, or a belief that it is obtainable. Hope differs from wish and desire in this, that it implies some expectation of obtaining the good desired or the possibility of possessing it. So hope is a little bit more than a wish. A wish is like, you know, this may not ever happen. But when we hope for something, there's a little bit of expectation that this is obtainable. This could happen. It also means to place confidence, to trust with confident expectation of good. And lastly, hope Someone or something on which expectations are centered. Someone greater than ourselves. You know, I wouldn't go to the tire store and ask the repairman in the back to fix some jewelry. Would you? I mean, there's a level of expectation as to what he can do, okay? I wouldn't ask a plumber who was doing some plumbing at my house if he would come and to look at my computer and help debug it. I mean, there are just certain things that just don't go together. But that's what hope is. We understand that I'm limited in certain areas, and so I'm going to hope that there's somebody that's greater than me who has better abilities and capabilities than I do to help me out. Listen to these verses, all from the New Testament, that have the word hope in them. And see if you don't think that they're positive and reassuring. Acts 24, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets, and have hope toward God." Somebody greater than ourselves. Romans 4, verse 18, "Who," Abraham speaking of, "against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations." How old was he when the Lord told him, that God told him he was going to be a father? And Sarah, okay? He was, first time he was 90. Then he reminded him again of it when he was 99. That was hope. It was something that was beyond Abraham's ability. Romans 5, 3 through 5. "And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed." If you put your faith and trust in somebody who's greater than you, hope, humanly, they might let you down. But not so with our God, not so with our Lord. There's no shame. A couple more. How about this one, Galatians 5, verse 5, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." He said he was coming back. We're waiting with hope. It's something that he can do, something we can't, we don't have any, there's nothing we can do about it. It's all on him. How about this one? This is Ephesians 2, verse 12. Many of these are very familiar. "That at the time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope." That was our condition before we place our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Place of no hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Okay? So, positive reinforcement for those who have their hope in the right thing, in the right person. But then there's the negative side. Those that have no hope can be a word of sadness. 30 years after the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter picked up his pen under the pen of inspiration and wrote this letter. We read in verse 1, he says, "to the strangers." But really, these were the people that had been scattered because of the persecution coming from Nero and the Roman Empire directed at Christians. They lived in a very anti-Christian society. Sound familiar? The question faced by these believers was, and also is to us, how can our souls endure the oppression of this evil day? When you think about the hatred that's directed towards anything that's related to Christ and Christians, how can we be joyful day by day and fill our lives with the fruits of righteousness? How can we show kindness and acts of mercy to others and our labor of love? How can we bless those that curse us? Luke 6:28. How can we give a cup of water in Jesus' name? Mark 9:41. How can we be salt and light? Matthew 5:13 through 16. I'll tell you how. It's because of that word right there in verse 3. Hope. You know, Peter knew a lot about hope. I think of Peter. I find myself many times relating to Peter because I, in many ways, am like Peter. Open my mouth before I turn this on. I mean, many of us are that way. We want to do something, or we want to appear important, or we want to show the a side of confidence in ourselves, and then what happens? It gets turned upside down. You know, I wonder if Peter hoped when he asked the Lord, "Lord, invite me to come out onto the water. I'll walk to the water on you." He hoped he could make it. What happened? He took his eyes off the Lord and lost his confidence and his faith. He hoped that maybe he could do something courageous when he told the Lord, "Lord, we're gonna fight for you. We're gonna die for you tonight." And then the Lord said, "Peter, tonight before the rooster crows, you're gonna deny me three times. If I say something brave, if I do something courageous, that'll help me out, right?" Mm-mm. No, because our hope can't rely on something that we can do, or it's really not hope. Our hope has to be centered on somebody that is greater than us. But notice that he says it's not just a hope. It's a lively hope. It's a living hope. I believe that when Peter penned these words, he wasn't thinking of anything except the Lord Jesus himself. Jesus Christ, a living hope. What do the other religions of the world have? They make their pilgrimages and they go to tombs somewhere around the world. Not us. Peter knew with confidence. He had seen the resurrected Lord, and he said, "We've got a living hope." And with these thoughts in our minds, I'll close with this. In verse 13 of that same chapter, Peter says, Hope to the end. Hope to the very end. That's us. We're waiting on the Lord. How can we have such confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ? How can we have confidence that He said, if we believed on Him, that we would be saved, that He would prepare a place for us in heaven? How can we have that kind of confidence? It's because Jesus is the one. He is the greatest. We need something that's greater than ourselves, that's for sure. Jesus is the greatest. There is none greater. And I'll close with this. 1 John 4:4, very familiar verse. "Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." Where is your hope? It better be in the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're going to be one of those, as we mentioned earlier, without hope. I hope these words will help us. It's just a small word, four letters, but boy, how big it is in the life of a believer. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for Your Word. We're thankful for the promises that we have kept through the Lord Jesus. We have that confidence. We know what He said is true. And Lord, I pray that You would help each one of us here to be able to live that hope every day, to go out and to be a witness to those who have no hope, so that they may find out who the Lord Jesus Christ is and that He may become their hope as well. Bless us as we go our ways, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.